At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
And welcome everybody to the Rugby Rant. As you can see, I'm in my Grimace era. Let's go Mets.
Oh, I thought it was Cookie Monster.
Apparently at the time of this recording, they're up 2-1 on the Phillies in the series.
It's more Belichick. He's got the sleeves cut off.
Yeah, man. This is actually something they sell at the team store. I loved it, man. I wear it when I'm
typical Northeastern.
I believe that's blasphemy, Collins. That's blasphemy up there in New York.
It is. That guy's it. Although now with the Jets having an opening, Bill come over. We'll see. But anyway, let's talk about some rugby. This is episode 188 of the Rugby Rant, ladies and gentlemen. We have Rick Collins here. Obviously, Rick is not only a contributor to the show on the Rant, he's also a contributor to the blog.
Scott, talk about the blog a little bit more.
I will.
What blog you speak of?
Yeah. So the rugbyrant.com is our blog that we can talk about. Me and Rob have given these guys the mandate. They can talk pretty much about everything they want. They don't have to limit it to North American rugby. But our philosophy is we are trying to write some blogs, specifically me, that appeal to the lowest common denominator. And that's, I'm not being facetious. I mean, people who are new to rugby, right? So if you see some of my articles, you'll see some of them are very basic, right?
Kicking.
And that's just, no, I mean, let's be honest. You know, there's a lot of people who are trying to new to the sport. You know, Alona Mara's brought a lot of new people to the sport. And I think there's not a lot of basic information out there sometimes. And I felt like we always talk about it on the Rant, how somebody needs to do a rugby 101. Somebody needs to, so you know what? I told Rob, fuck it, I'll do it. And I'll just put some basic information out there. And they've been coming out every Monday. We're still in the middle of the Rugby 101. We're going to transition over into the positions at some point. This past Monday was Rugby 101 kicking. And again, it was just basic, you know, what it kicks for, you know, what kicks 50, score, 22. What types of kicks. Yeah. And in Rugby 102, we'll kind of break down a little more in depth about what each of those things mean. But then you have Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt, Rick the Jackal King Collins, who do a little bit more of what I think seasoned rugby fans like to see. Yeah. Rob right now is doing his Moonshot 2031 series. Mercury is dropping. Actually, would have dropped the day of it's coming out. Go check out his original In Touch number one with that. The Gemini series, Mercury, Apollo will be coming out next week. And Rick, his last one actually is talking about the topic we're actually going to talk about tonight is the Jackals withdrawing. And you know, I think, it was a great team jersey. I appreciate it this year. Yeah. But you know, it's just one of those things where this is what we're going to talk about on our website. We also have Pierce LeBon there and Adam Hughes. Adam did a great piece on Hurricane Helene and you know, what's going on in the rugby community down there to help out the other community. I know Pierce LeBon's coming out with a article about women's rugby and funding around the world. And he had some really good sources he was talking to, which included, I think, our friend Wendy Young. So look out for those. And again, we're coming out with rugby articles at least 3 or 4 times a week. Go to rugbyrant.com, sign up, subscribe for our email so you don't miss anything. we'll be posting them on our Facebook page.
And don't forget, folks, the reason why we're doing this is just another means for us to provide an opportunity, a voice to the fans like you. I mean, that's always been our intent, is to provide a voice to the fans, provide an outlet for fans to talk about rugby in the United States, be it MLR, USA Rugby, USA Sevens, Women's Rugby, Women's Sevens, or Canadian Rugby, or Rugby Canada, I should say, and or club and youth rugby. So if you're interested and you have something to say and you want people to be aware of it, shoot us a line, drop us a note, make a comment below, and get in touch with us, and we'll talk about what you can put and add to our blog. Get out there, your opinion and your thoughts on something rugby related.
Absolutely. We're still looking for contributors. You know, we have people, it's Rick knows it's a very easy process. You know, we just vet you a little bit and, you know, make sure that you can speak basic English pretty much. but no, seriously, you know,
We had to get Rick fingerprints checked by the FBI and make sure there was nothing else going on in his background. But other than that, we're pretty solid.
But yeah, so we're always looking for contributors. Speaking of contributors, let's talk about Around the Pitch. Hammer, kick us off, Hammer.
Well, thank you very much, my good sir. I want to talk a little bit about MLR teams that are engaging their communities. I think it's something that I'll touch upon in the rant because I believe there's a connection there. Without getting too deep into those weeds, let me just talk about two teams in particular. NOLA Gold, their head coach, Danny Lee, who had been in San Diego, is actually wasting no time down there in the Crescent City. He's getting after it. And he was working with the U16s 2 weeks ago. I have to imagine he's going to continue to do that to help rugby grow and develop. I know my good man, Steve Perrell, down there working with a lot of schools to get rugby more into the schools, more systemic, and Jeff Parrish. So let's look to hear more about that later on. The other team involved in that is the San Diego Legion. I believe we have a graphic here, Scott. They visited 28 schools. Players specifically visited 28 schools in September. 28 curriculum was provided to teachers. They had the second annual 23-team after-school flag rugby league. They had some youth clinics going on. They had two skills camps going on. They went down to Tijuana to three schools there and implemented the Imagine Rugby curriculum put on by USA Rugby. And that totaled 4,151 students engaged in rugby by the San Diego Legion. So I want to give them a golf clap for their efforts. That's amazing. Kudos to them. Continue doing what you're doing. And I have to imagine there should be some other teams that should be taking a cue from the San Diego Legion.
Absolutely. Rick, what do you got, big boy?
So, big signing, maybe not the signing that some of us wanted for USA Rugby Sevens, but Simon Amore, a former English Seven star who's been coaching over in the UK for several years now, including leading Great Britain to a silver in the previous Olympics. And I, you know, yes, we needed a big name in since Friday left. But I think a lot of people were kind of hoping that we would do something on the men's side like we did on the women's side, which led to a bronze, USA Eagles bronze in the most recent Olympics for the women with Emily Bidewell, who was an American player, been coaching in the system for quite a few years. And, you know, there might have been somebody in the USA with those kind of credentials that did not apparently make the cut for the USA Men's Eagles head coaching position for Sevens. But Amore does come with a good background of Sevens. And he says he is moving to San Diego. He's going to be in Chula Vista. And we'll be there on the ground soon to be help start that program back up. Several players have retired recently. Don't know if that's related to the coaching change, but I think he's going to find that there's plenty of fresh legs. He just needs to get them in the right position, and he's going to have to do some recruiting. It's a program that's a desperate need of kind of a youth movement. There are some youthful players on the side that just finished up their Olympic run. But, you know, he's got his work cut out for him. The men's seven series is a very difficult series, and I think he's going to find it a bit more challenging than working with Great Britain.
Guys, does that kick off in November?
I think HSBC.
That sounds correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of work in short order. Let's be honest.
So, correct. You know, but, you know, he does have while there were – I'm going to go to me on the screen here. While there were some retirements, I mean, he still has a plethora of players.
Sorry, January 12th or 14th in Dubai.
Perfect.
Gotcha.
You know, but count the holidays. That's kind of a dead period, so you're losing 2 to 3 weeks. Same thing with Thanksgiving. That's another week. So really you cut 3 months down to two. You know, again, it's going to be a tough transition. Tiala Ofa, watch out for him. He's a U18 American Sevens player. I think he's going to be a star. Don't think he's ready right now to come up, but look for him in the future. So my round the pitch is actually we saw a graphic on Instagram and Twitter from Utah Warriors thanking some players that are no longer with the team, including Mika Kruse, Franco Vandenberg, Thomas Tuivasa, Paul Mullen, Robbie Povey, Lepetti Garcia, Kieran McClea, John Dupree, Jesse Hamilton, Isaiah Kruse, Mika's brother, Noah Bain. I know I'm missing the list here, but I believe it was a total.
Both Kruse's.
Yeah, it was a total of 17 players let go.
I thought they were announcing like re-signings for this next year with so many players. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, no, it was a lot. You know, it's interesting because I believe the final game of the season, they had 10,000 fans there. And what does this say to the fans, you know, with all these departures? And, you know, Mika Kruse is 26. Paul Mullen is 32. You know, so, I mean, is Paul Mullen kind of going to be on the tail end of his career? Sure. But I mean, he still has at least another 2 or 3 years of prime propping, you know, to his name. And he's been there, I think, you know, since they started, you know, it's 17 players though. Seems high. You know, we've been hearing some things, you know, if you look at a lot of them are USA eligible players too. That's weird to me because historically, you know, Utah doesn't necessarily trade for a lot of foreign player spots as other teams do strategically. And again, if you look at like, I always go back to New York. I thought the way they did it was pretty good is they would use those. They would take their foreign player spots and put them in positions where they can coach up some young American talent. And if they brought in somebody, let's say from New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, 9 times out of 10, those young guys they were bringing in were actually USA eligible. And Scott Lawrence was going to give them right? And that's kind of what we want. You know, we talk about MLR being semi-pipeline and there's, you know, a partnership, right? And, you know, I felt that the way New York did it was kind of the way you want to do it. Doesn't look like Utah's doing it the way they should be doing. Anyway, 17 departures. Mika Kruse already landed with Seattle. I have a feeling my two places for Paul Mullen will either be NOLA Gold or Anthem. I have a feeling it's going to be NOLA. I think NOLA's had some older props are kind of going to be, you know, going by the wayside a little bit. So Paul Mullen will be a good pickup there.
Well, yeah, agreed. Because you don't forget you have Doc is undergoing Achilles surgery. Mm-hmm. So that was he'll be out for a while. And that was a USA qualified player to come in off the bench. And so Paul will be serviceable there. Plus they had the, was it Jared Adams?
Yes.
One of the two Kiwi props is, you know, they announced that he wouldn't be back next year. So they have a void.
Absolutely. And, you know, Anthem, I don't know if Paul Mullen will fit in what they're looking to do. They already have, I think, Jake Turnbull over there. You know, so it's one of those things. I don't know if he's a good, not that he's not a good fit for the team. I mean, like what they've already built there. So Rob, what's your last around the pitch topic?
Oh man. Well, no, he caught me at a loss here. You know, I had the two, the community engagement pieces. So I could talk about Midwest Rugby. Club Rugby's alive and well. Things are heating up. 2 weekends ago, the Lions and the returning D1 club champs, the St. Louis Bombers, went head to head in a 1-point affair here in Chicago. Awesome game. I think we had a couple of hounds that showed up in there, including Willis Goodwin. And I'm trying to think who else was in there. Willis, the one comes off the top of my head. At any rate, last weekend we had Nate Augsburger show up for the Lions off the bench playing against his old team in Metropolis. That was interesting to see. And this weekend, hopefully I'm able to go down to St. Louis to watch the Lions and the Bombers kick off another battle royale. So I'll get to see if Preston lines up across from USA star winger Nate Augsburger. It would be delightful to see.
That'd be hysterical. I think Nate will run him through the ground because Preston's a string bean. Preston's a nice young man, but Nate, you know, given his age, there's reckless abandon he plays with at this point. I think he knows at a certain point he'll be, you know, hanging him up. So why just not run over a club guy?
Just kick the wiper over to the touchline right there and let the guy that's 6'5" go scrap it.
Oh man. You know, interestingly enough, in not in that graphic and on the list of Utah players being let go, Paul Lisecki, isn't he like 35, maybe 36? Interestingly enough. So I don't know, maybe he's just not signed, so they didn't, you know, they're not technically letting him go versus some of the other guys that were on that list. But if he does sign, or if he's still signed, that would be interesting. That I think he might be the oldest USA eligible player they had, and he's still on the team. That's interesting. Anyway, talk about interesting things. We're going to talk about Dallas's withdrawal from 2025 MLRC. You know, again, last year it was Toronto and New York, obviously. This year it's Dallas, bringing the league down to 11 teams. That has been confirmed by multiple sources. That it is going to be 11 teams going into the 2025 season. And it just sucks to talk about, but, you know, we're going to get into details. And before we kind of get into that, I'm just going to say, let's be honest, as I go through my preamble, Dallas was a dumpster fire from day one. But we're going to talk about that next in our rugby ring. And just to prove that the word dumpster fire is correct, Rob just ruined my transition there. because you lay it down with the line. Oh, you know, Dallas was a dumpster fire from the beginning. Then you go bam to a transition, Rob. I know it's tough for you to understand. You're old. You move a little slow. The brain's.
I wanted to make sure that Rick had an opportunity, plenty of opportunity, by the way, to go get himself a nice stiff whiskey as we talked about this. Because. You know, we know that he's a fan of the fiery liquid, but we also know that occasionally he needs it to overcome any angst or bitterness that he may be feeling, relieve some of the tension, if you will. So I was going to give him an opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. So let me give you some background. You know, part of the initial group of cities that committed to starting the MLR in 2018, Dallas was a part of that. Included in that, I believe, is Toronto and New York. In 2019, Toronto and New York stayed, got on the field. Dallas decided that they weren't ready yet. You know, kind of no harm, no foul going into 2019. 2020, we all know what happened. At the end of 2020, I know that there was the original deal. I believe they had the stadium was Revitron, and I'm sure Rick will correct me if I'm wrong. Revitron Park fell through, and they ended up going with Choctaw. But then they kind of had a false start there in 2021, where 2 weeks before the season that they had to pull out, citing that they weren't ready for the season. after they had signed a team's worth of guys and guys had made some moves. You know, yeah, it's, you know, shout out to our boy Mikey Brown. He was one of those guys who made the move to Dallas. And it was a good move for him and his family. He went in there, you know, just to give you as a per diem player. He went in there not under contract to help out the club. And then it screwed him. You know, everybody got screwed, but it really screwed a guy like him who was a contracted player on most of the teams he played with and kind of went per diem to help them. And then guess what? He's not in the dispersal draft because he's technically not under contract. Then we go into 2022. Unfortunately, you know, winless season. It's a tough campaign. The head coach isn't there due to visa difficulties. And like, again, the week before the season, GM Elaine Vassie had to step in and kind of take over the coaching roles. There was that crazy off the field incident where several players got injured in a team bonding exercise. I don't know if they all tried to trust fall each other and they all didn't catch each other. There's some details on that that I don't want to go into that we know.
Okay.
I'll just say that there was an accident.
Now would be an opportune time to you know, lift the lid off that.
If you want to go into some detail, the players were kind of out and about, and there was a deck. A
bridge at a local establishment.
A bridge or a deck that collapsed while players were there. It was one of those things where the players were kind of out for the night trying to build that synergy in their team building event, I guess, while they, you know, really worked on their arm strength. But, you know, unfortunately for them, unfortunately for them, there was actually a structural issue that caused about 7 players to be injured mid-season. And then it's crazy. Then we go into our 2023 campaign, and the Jackals continue to struggle. They have 2 wins, but the end of the season, if you guys recall, they were starting to kind of build on something. And even though, you know, the losses were piling up there, you were seeing those point differentials kind of shorten a bit. You were seeing some more free throwing scoring plays, which was an issue for Dallas, especially in 2022. The score differential was insane. They didn't come to 2024, which obviously was their best year, making the playoffs, knocking off Houston. Sam Gallo was the forward of the year. Geronimo Gomez-Vara was the forward of the year.
Gallo might have been if he had stayed healthy.
Yeah, if he stayed healthy. Unfortunately, he got injured. You know, you had an amazing run in 2024. A lot of losses that were tight. A lot of losses that were super tight and kind of just got blowouts in the last 10 minutes. And then you came to the announcement. Us being, I would say, people call us insiders, pundits, whatever. We knew kind of what was going on more than the public did. We knew there was some issues. We knew there was going to be an announcement, what it was going to say. And obviously, you know, America, we kept our mouth shut until it was public because that's what you do. unfortunately, they had to withdraw from the 2025 season. It sucks. You know, it's just, I don't know what to say. There's no indication that another team will take Dallas's place. Again, we've confirmed there'll be 11 teams in the final count for 2025. I'm just going to kind of give the floor to Rick right now to give us his thoughts.
Yeah. Great season on the field. You know, there were matches that we lost, you know, by a try or less, where we had opportunities to win in the last 5 minutes. The ball didn't bounce our way in several of those cases, and, you know, silly mistakes and an opportunity really to win, put that last match against Seattle on salt and go to a championship match against New England, and just didn't work out. Bounce of the ball, decision, whatever you want to call it, just didn't work out. We were super proud of the boys. You know, several of us were, especially the executive group and the board of the supporters group, the Jackal Den, which Den Dogs, and we've got all of our swag and everything. we kind of knew that there was going to be some risk to the club after the season was over. We had, you know, heard that the team was, or at least a portion of the team was going to be for sale, that it had been for sale previous years. We knew what the group of ownership that were majority holders in the club, kind of what their plans were based on, you know, their, you know, what their business did, which is basically trying to find small sports, professional sports programs, buy them and then sell them for a profit. You know, so there was going to be a sale at some point. Unfortunately, a sale didn't happen, which I tried hard to help from
facilitate.
Facilitate. Thank you. That didn't work out. The club was not able to be sold, even though, in my opinion, there was an owner who could have stepped in at any moment and paid up for the club. And that's really disappointing that that didn't happen. You know, we could take solace in the fact that other clubs have had issues, not the same issues, but, you know, New York to some degree, Atlanta, to some degree, although Atlanta and Toronto, maybe different situations, but it's an expensive hobby, right? And at this point, this is not a moneymaker. We all know that. We know that, you know, despite the fact that the Jackals really weren't paying rent, it's still a hugely expensive sport, you know, event to put on. And when you're only getting the payback 8 days during the year, and you're paying out salaries for, you know, probably minimum of 60 to 70 people, it becomes expensive. But the thing is that what pisses us off is everybody knows that going into this. It's not like some surprise that the teams in this league aren't making money. We've heard from the Miami owner, we've heard from the San Diego owner, we've heard from trying to remember who the other, it might have been Utah's owner. You know, yeah, their expectation is they're in the red, but that's not why their investing is not for a 5-year turnaround and making money. They're invested because they love the sport. They think that this gives a great opportunity to American players to better their careers on the field. You know, gives an opportunity to fans to experience professional rugby in the United States, which we don't get too often, and an opportunity for a sport that all of us love to get the spotlight that we think it deserves. And I think that MLR will continue to do that for a majority of these cities. I will continue to support MLR. It's the sport that I love, even though I didn't grow up playing it. I think that the fans here are really disappointed, some more than others. You know, people have found the sport and fallen in love in quick order. And I think there's a sentiment that we deserve a team in MLR or maybe in another professional league. But I'd love to see a team in Dallas playing in MLR again in the near future. And I don't think there's a reason that it can't happen. There's plenty of people here who could afford to, you know, put into it. The question is will there be a commitment? And we're already working on some things behind the scenes. The Jackal Den will continue to exist. This is a big question that we had at the end of the season and when the announcement was made official, and we already had a prepared statement that we put out. We already were having meetings discussing what we wanted to do with the Jackal Den, and we found it would be completely unfair to just let everybody walk away. A lot of people have found more love for rugby through the community. We've got over 2,600 members at this point. And what we want to do is support local rugby. And from the beginning, our charter has said that although we are organized to be supporters of the Jackals, the Dallas Jackals rugby team, whether they're an MLR or not, we are also here to support local rugby, especially youth rugby. We all, as rugby lovers, understand how important it is to impart this amazing sport on the youngins. And all of us, to some degree, work with local youth programs. So we're ready to continue that mission, and we will continue it. And we hope that the rest of our membership will support that. And
at Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
And we'll continue to host watching events. I don't know if that'll include MLR. We've already talked about including USA Rugby events, whether that's sevens, men's and women's, 15s, men's and women's. And then we will hopefully develop ourselves to the point where we can take donations and help support youth rugby through those donations, as well as through ourselves in reffing youth events, hosting youth events, supporting youth teams on potentially on travel, and players going to other cities to try out for MLR teams, those sorts of things. We're, you know, keenly interested in continuing to assist the local rugby community on. So it's not over for us, and we hope that we'll get a new rugby team, although would be great to bring the Jackals brand back. I'm pretty positive that IP will probably die with the club. There's possibility that it could be bought, but at this point, from discussions I've had with ownership, discussions I've had with anyone in the know, that this team will not be resurrecting itself. Although they left in the message, they left it open for 2026. Yeah. As they said, they will not be competing in 2025 and will evaluate a controlling interest transfer in the near future. I just don't see that happening. And I believe if it were to happen, I'm not sure that it would be about having a team in Dallas. So this will be a ground up reshuffle in terms of getting a professional team here in Dallas.
Yeah, let's be honest, Rick. I mean, anybody that comes in and purchases, you know, because the ownership group has rights at least for a certain duration of time with the league,
right,
to that kind of locale, if you will. Right. Yep. So if anybody wants to come in and establish another MLR team in Dallas, they have to either buy it and buy those rights or wait till the rights expire, you know, with the contract with the league.
Correct.
But in either case, somebody that comes in there and establishes an MLR team in that landscape, in that geographical area, is probably going to want to create their own branding mechanism around it.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's not too dissimilar from what happened with Atlanta when they were moved to LA.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree. I think, you know, if it is to happen in a new club, enter the DFW market, whether it's in Dallas or Fort Worth or wherever, because we've actually had discussions about different locations, you know, we would potentially rebrand the supporters group, archive it, if you will. So, yeah. As much as we love the brand, and the actual logo itself for the Jackal Den, which I've got on my sweet scarf, which I believe mm-hmm. Scott might actually have one of these.
I do.
Was a good friend of mine, a teammate, former teammate of mine playing rugby. So
there you go.
We still believe, there's things, happening, behind the scenes that we're working on and, you know, who knows? The problem is always going to be money.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, yeah. I think, you know, one of the biggest missteps, in my opinion, is, you know, I don't want to talk about things maybe you don't want to talk about, but, you know, I felt like the club didn't embrace the fan club. There's a lot of things, you know, the Legion embraces the Legionnaires, the cohort. You know, yeah. Rooney embraced the hard hats or the iteration of the hard hats that we had. You know, we were having meetings. We were not necessarily using team branding, but if we were close and as long as we weren't making a profit off of it, we were getting some stuff, you know, merch out to some people for like, you know, we had shirts we all wore for, you know, this hard hat section I made a shirt for when we played New England, you know, things like that. You know, the team wasn't necessarily about, oh, we got to watch our intellectual property on this because they knew we were kind of making it for the fans. You know, same thing with NOLA and the Gold Diggers and all the fan, you know, the Seawall and all the fan clubs there. But I feel like for whatever reason, the club, the team and the fan club, you know, the team never embraced the fan club. And I know without going into any detail, there was a bunch of issues there. And I, again, just a long line of missteps from this team after I gave you kind of like
the big I'll be honest. Yeah,
well, so let me interject real quick because I want to dovetail off that. It's one of the questions I had for you, Rick, because you were an insider. You were on the ground in Dallas and so can really speak and have some expertise here. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did the Dallas ownership and management embrace the Jackal Den?
You know, better than it feels like they would have based on everything that's happened. We had regular meetings starting in year one with them, even before year one started. We were having meetings with the president monthly, and we actually kept that. We've been meeting with someone from the front office for almost 4 years. But the problem was, is like, you know, we're giving all this free advice to them and they really didn't pay it back. They didn't help set up tailgates. They didn't promote that. They never promoted anything that we did. They wouldn't let us hang a banner at the stadium. I mean, like just really basic stuff that would have said, you know, this is part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We really had to work hard to get fans involved in the Jackal Den, and oh, we didn't even know, you know, there was a supporters group, and it's like, oh my God, we're like,
that's crazy. Me, you know, you want the one caveat to me putting things up in the stadium was just don't cover an advertiser's ad. They're like, you know, that was the only caveat I could put up. And everybody, if people have seen what I had done in the stadium, I had signs for every player, and some of them were kind of funny, you know. We had the Butcher's Block, which was a section of essentially all the faucets that would come out every match to watch Dylan play, you know, serving tries one mall at a time, you know, stuff like that. You know, Nate Brakely's, you know, auto repair.
I'll give you this. You know? Look, I've sat in the same seat for three seasons. I was the first person to have season tickets for the Dallas Jackals. When I bought my tickets, the president of the club sat with me while I signed and everything. He didn't do that with anybody else that I'm aware of. And the second to last home game, when I stood to cheer, they had a security guard standing on the front row, came by and told me to sit down. And then I was like, okay, maybe
don't tell me how to fan, mister.
Maybe it's just this one. It happened like six or seven times. And I wanted to tell him to F off. Like I own the seat. I could do what I want here. This is, you know, we picked these seats so that we could stand and not be in the way of, you know, fans that were paying a bunch of money in the middle section.
Right.
I mean, we bent over backwards for the club. We gave them plenty of free advice. We knew every single rugby club in the area. We connected them with it. I put together a meeting of all of the leaders of the different Division One, Division Two, Division Three clubs in DFW with one of the owners. We sat in the Texas Rangers main offices in the new Rangers Stadium and had a great discussion. And guess what came of it? Nothing. They wanted to put on a show that they were supporting the local community, but there was nothing. They never came out to, you know, matches, except for the players would come out occasionally. And then the coaches would come out because they had development players that they were interested in. But outside of that, they weren't coming out and giving away bumper stickers or pins or anything. They didn't come out.
I mean, it's crazy. Cause I mean, we had heard that they had burned a lot of bridges in the local community. And again, you see San Diego, you see NOLA, you see when New York had a team. I mean, that's what the name Rugby United New York was, to unite all the Division I teams under this professional banner. The fact that, you know, White Plains, NIAC, and Old Blue were the feeder teams, you know, and when they did have not a university team. Oh my God. A development team. A development team. It was literally under 23 guys. It was like almost like a college, high school, all-star team, because they already knew that they had guys who were Division I players who were ready to come in the NFL through the clubs they already had there, you know? And that was the whole point. And everybody talks about it was a stupid name, but you know what? It fucking worked. It united the New York community under one banner to have that. And they executed very well.
And it
seems like even early on, just Dallas was burning bridges left and right.
This is very telling. We had a new front office every single year, except this last year, where we didn't. There was no president. They had an owner step in and act as sort of president, but he didn't even want to call himself president.
You need somebody in charge of day-to-day operations that's overseeing things on a regular basis.
We didn't have a GM. We didn't have a GM this year.
That's crazy.
So, so we're meeting with these different presidents every year, and we're having to reestablish.
Right.
So not only did they not really know who we were and we're trying to reconnect with them, but I was like, so whatever happened to the relationships you had with the three D1 clubs that you announced as being feeder programs? And they were like, what? And I had to show them on their own website, those posts showing that they had a relationship with the Reds, Dallas Rugby Football Club, the Dallas Harlequins, and the Grand Prairie Mavericks. And they were like, oh my goodness, I didn't even know. How do you not know what's on your own website?
That's insane.
Like, so it just, from an organizational standpoint, they failed. I think there were people that really tried. I think there were people that wanted this to work. And I want to bring up the interview that Brock Gallagher did recently, talking about his experience and what happened, you know, after being that they announced to the players that they were no longer going to be Dallas Jackals. And he said that there were several people in the ownership group who did everything they could to help them. You know, do you need anything? You know, do you need help moving? What can we do for you? So he said that experience was a lot better than he expected. And then also I think with the draft, the dispersal draft, that they felt generally as a group that they were treated right by the league in this situation, which is good because we've heard so many horror stories the last like two or three seasons. Yeah. And one thing I think MLR did right here was to do this now.
Yeah.
And not wait until November, December, right, when this has been a disaster.
Yeah.
Well, I think also the timing, sorry, Rob, but the timing of it was a little different than maybe some of the other teams. But at least now we've done the dispersal draft so many times. They know what the players know what the expectation is, at least. So
they were actually, from my understanding, wink, wink, they were given a choice whether they wanted to have a dispersal draft or not. And that was in assistance of the Players Association.
Yep.
So the Players Association already is having an impact, which is great to hear.
And that was the purpose, right? That was one of the core elements on why the union inserted itself in the way it did and in the time period it did, 2 years ago, and then ultimately got approval last season, is precisely because of situations like this. It wasn't so much because they wanted, more money, as everybody always talks about. They think every union is about money, but it's oftentimes more about, treatment and how players or employees should be treated, and about, just overall, not necessarily compensation, but some
other benefits. Yeah, I think, sometimes ownership groups think about in your own, job life is like some companies was like, of course they would love a pizza day. Like, I don't want a pizza day. I want an extra day or two off. Like, right. My thing is I want more time with my family.
Yeah.
But they're not thinking about that from that end. Right. So if they're not taking input from the employees, employees aren't going to be happy because they're not going to get the things that they want because their interests don't align with what the business interests are. Right. So there's got to be some wiggle room in there to say, hey, we got to at least get some feedback from the employees. Hey, what is it y'all would like to do? Right. Yeah. What would you now? That's not to say it's going to happen, but at least we're taking that in.
So it's interesting you say that, because I want to talk a little bit about my take on this, and I have a couple takeaways. First of all, what frustrates me is this is the fourth or fifth time that this has happened in league history, where a team has stepped away, right? Even including a team that didn't totally completely go away, like what is now the LA franchise or that of the Raptors, but I'm starting to get really annoyed at the mantra, this happens in a young league, these things happen. And maybe it's just me. I'm just getting tired of that mantra, and people compare it to the NFL in the NFL's infancy. And it's just apples to oranges because we live in a totally different world now.
I think there's some good comparables though. I think, it's that.
I mean, I think for me, when's the last time
one of
the four or five major leagues actually had a total collapse of teams that backed out? And the one league that has had it and happened in the last 25 years, and I think it's happened once or twice, is the MLS.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's happened twice in 25 years. You'd have to go all the way back to 1953 or 1954, the NBA, for it to happen. And we're just in a different era of sports landscape.
No, but if you look at, there's a couple leagues, and you want to talk about soccer. There was the U.S. something league. Yeah, but my point is, there's been complete leagues that have come and gone in recent years that kind of went by the wayside, and we've seen that happen. But again, they're competing with places like the MLS. But my point being is you can see some similarities. But here's the thing, Rob. I think what people aren't getting, and I think it shows, you know, it's funny because I got like yelled at today because I posted that SIP thing. There was only 81,000 SIPed players in the United States, according to USAR. And what does that tell you? You know, time, even if you times that by 10, those are fans, but how many of them are going to MLR matches, right? And yeah. What does it tell you about the strategy of MLR to have a game on a fucking Saturday when Rick's going to coach or play a game on a Saturday to go see a Dallas Jackals match? You know what I mean? Which is why New York moved all their games to Sundays. Everybody bitched, but guess what? You can actually go to a game because you're not playing an away match.
Yeah, and I think that's intentional here by the Hounds as well, because they understand that a lot of the fan community, the Hounds fan community, is engaged with rugby already. And because it's on a Sunday, it's their opportunity to bring additional fans into the stadium when they have more time to engage in the you know, pregame festivities and things like that. But I want to go into a couple other points that I think are worthy of note. And it speaks back to that engagement piece, not just with fan groups, but also engagement with the community as a whole for rugby events. What I think the MLR would be wise to do now, and I'm not sure that they have time, we're already in October, is to do some kind of audit of the remaining teams. One of the things that would be beneficial to do that for would be to really instill some confidence in the fans that are committed to teams already and committed to the league if they do an audit. I know that there's internal audits done by the MLR in which they ask for input of league employee or team employees and actual players. Okay. Mm-hmm. I do know that those exist. Why are they not doing those with fans and engaging the fan groups and infusing the community? Each one of the teams has a list of all those people that have bought tickets over the course of that team's email, phone number. So send that out, ask them for feedback. And what the hell, you know, so you give away 10,000 bumper stickers or you do something where a grand prize, you know, randomly we're going to draw five names. Yeah. Something.
I mean, but what have I said? You know, I'm going to always bring it back to should I say what the league's prerogative should be, right? The team's prerogative should be the product they're putting on the field to be competitive. The league's prerogative should be creating new rugby fans, and they haven't done that since fucking
day. Well, I think that's a shared responsibility, but my point is that reach out to the fans. I know that the Hounds actually engaged their fans and asked for feedback and input on this last season and what they want to see moving forward. That should have been league-wide, and there should have been a component of that that had some consistency and questions that they could use the data from to as a league to do some analysis and think about what's on the horizon. Engage the fans. Do a financial audit, right, of each team. And it doesn't have – I'm not saying that it has to be transparent. I'm not asking to be involved in the owner's business or be made aware of it. These are private owners that can do with their clubs what they want. But for the league to look at it and measure the health of each team based upon, you know, fan engagement, based upon financials, based upon health and vitality of socials, based upon the player survey that they get back and the employee survey, do an audit of each team and, you know, bring it together and then release that information to the teams as a whole and to the league at the whole at the owners meeting. And then think about having a summit. Right. A summit in like September would have been ideal. Bring, you know, your social media teams together in one place. Bring your account managers that are in ticket sales, your corporate sales, your commercial sales.
Media.
Yeah. Bring these people together and have breakout sessions. Even if it's sharing, what are you doing? San Diego Legion is killing it with regard to community engagement.
And New England kills it in terms of day-to-day stuff.
Game, But they do that. That happens because they made an intentional effort to make Fort Quincy a place that people want to go to for things other than rugby. And then when rugby's happening, they go there and, oh yeah, there's a rugby game kicking off, but there's also all kinds of other things going on too. Yeah. So it's a hub of activity, not just 8 days a year, but throughout the year. It's someplace the community can go to enjoy the life. And it's not just about rugby. So I think that's one of the things that could be done. Now, that being said, kudos to the league for kind of saying, look, there's going to be 11 teams. We're not going to allow a team to come in, at a later time. We're going to have 11. We're going to move forward to the schedule here. And this avoids what we had the last year, which was a schedule part due, right? Yeah. Which I think a lot of people were turned off by, because some people looked at the schedule, started thinking about making plans.
Everybody, and all of a sudden those things were turned.
Yeah. What I don't understand, what I don't understand, that the league knew the situation the teams were in. So why the fuck would you drop a schedule?
Correct.
All right. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to interrupt Rob because we're getting long on time here or short on time here. Rick, I'm going to give you the final say here about your beloved Dallas Jackals.
To all the fans, the people that cared, the people that weren't even here on the ground who cheered from afar, from overseas, like, there's still rugby here. The MLR is still here. Go support somebody, support rugby in the United States. If it's not the Jackals, now I won't tell you to support the Sabercats. I won't do that. But if you want to, you're welcome to. Nola is not that far away. It's a fun city. I might have to make a trip down this year. Find a team to support. Our players are going to be somewhere in MLR. I think like 80%, somewhere around there, are going to be on MLR squads. Root for them, because really, in the end, we were rooting for the players. These guys that put everything on the line, week in, week out. Who fought through injuries, who fought through the craziness of year one and year two, because we still had players on the squad from those first 2 years who put up with all that crap. Continue to root for them. They need our support. Tell them, that you're there for them. That's all they really want. That's all they really want to hear.
That's a lovely sentiment. So hopefully the dispersal draft results will be made public at some point. If not, check out Rob's Apollo blog, because I think he dropped some knowledge on where some guys went on his Apollo mission landing. Speaking of, real quick, I was looking at the Hounds sending out their season ticket package, and right at the end, there's like a CIA keyhole satellite picture of Scott Lawrence watching a match. It's the most grainy footage. It's like the Zapruder film. You guys couldn't get a better picture of USA Eagles head coach Scott Lawrence watching a match. It's insane. I wish I had found it earlier. I would throw it up there. But it's kind of funny. But, you talk about fan engagement. They're telling you all the season ticket benefits you get. And it's already starting with teams that are the 11 teams that are in the league. So, guys, please support all the players, whether or not they were selected in the dispersal draft. See if they go and get signed somewhere. Always be a fan of the players no matter what. Just don't be a fan of Houston, according to Rick.
And I just like to add on that note, there's no better way to support a player than to drop them a personal message somehow. Yeah. It could be a written note that you send them. Maybe it's just through email. Most of the teams have a very good group that's communicating and will provide the players with that information. Go to a game, catch them on the side, thank them. Believe it or not, they're human beings too, and they have families, and to know that there's somebody supporting them in their next chapter, it does mean a lot. It does mean a lot. We, the Hounds fans, the Kennel Club, we had a number of fans do this by doing actual videos, messages to the players, and I got a lot of players coming to me that were like, that was awesome. It really meant a lot.
I did one. To hear did I do one?
Yes, you did. Yeah.
I thought I did one.
Yep. I think yours was Giannis Venter.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
What? It wasn't the Butcher?
It was already taken.
I, I relented on what some of the season ticket holders, you know, I'm not there. Yeah. I don't get the support to be like that.
Okay.
So I said, hey, who's what's the list of players?
Who's left? He was good.
Yeah, who's left? Yeah. And I'll take one of those players because, you know, I don't want to, you know, I already know
every
know
player Butch, needs them.
Yeah, and I already know Butch and you guys know I reach out to the players I know, you know, so I didn't want to take the opportunity away from like a fan, a real fan that doesn't get that opportunity.
Right.
Yeah. But
I think Giannis was appreciative of my message.
Yes, he was.
That's awesome. Was.
So, yeah.
All right, guys. That.
Find a way to connect. Yep.
I really appreciate y'all letting me have a forum here tonight.
You've helped us, all our fans. You know, between the draft show, you guys would have your draft parties. We'd bring you on. You know, we talk about the Dallas picks. You talk about everything MLR, North American rugby. You know, we hope that you continue to come on the show. You're obviously contributing with the blog, and we love that. But, you know, we love seeing your lovely face. So we hope to still show up, you know.
By the way, if there's an asset fire sale, like jerseys and stuff like that, let us know.
Me and Rob are merch whores, if you didn't notice.
On the blog.
Yeah, me and Rob are merch whores, so if any Dallas fans are out there looking to sell merch, let me and Rob know, because we will.
Don't burn it, sell it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Anyway, guys, I think this topic is I don't think it's done and dusted, but I think we kind of fleshed out.
It's archived for a future.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and go check out Rick's latest blog about his written word about the demise.
History of pro rugby in the United States.
Yeah, it'll History of pro rugby in the United States is coming soon, and the one that's out at the time of this recording is the Dallas Jackals one.
And if, by the way, next time Rick comes on, the light in his background is actually red, we'll wonder what he's been doing.
I got to make money somehow.
We know it's not going to be yellow for Houston. Maybe it'll be red for San Diego. We got to see which coast Rick takes, which comments Rick takes. Anyway, fans, again, thank you so much for watching. Check out therugbyrant.com for the latest blog. You know, email, subscribe, do all the fun stuff, and we'll see you all at the next.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.